Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. Tonight we're going to look at what the Bible says about love. And unlike most of our Wednesday night studies where we look at a whole lot of different verses, tonight we're going to stay right in this chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 and just look at the so-called love chapter and look at the verses that are there. Love is hard to define. Amen? And there's many different degrees. There's all different applications of love. In one moment, we talk about loving someone, loving our husband, loving our wife, loving our son or daughter. And in the next moment, we're talking about love and chocolate. And so, you know, we have a lot of different ways that we use this word love. But I want us to look at it tonight about what the Bible says about it. At notice, number one, how important is love? How important is love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, now look at verse 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Now, you know the word charity here is the old English word for love. So you use that word interchangeably with the word love. So he's talking about love. He said, if I've got the tongues of men and I speak with all of the languages of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, when love is felt, the message is heard, isn't it? However, whenever there is no love or whenever we perceive there's no love, then that message is repulsed. We're not going to listen if we do not feel there's love there. And he's telling us here, from this we learn, number one, that love is more important than speech. He said, if I've got all of these languages, if I can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if I don't have love, I'm like some sound that's just in the air, some horn that's blowing, just some screeching sound that's made. It is of no value to me. So love is more important than the ability to communicate. How important is love? Notice number two. Look at verse two. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. Notice that from this we learn, number two, love is more important than prophecy. It's more important to love than to have the gift of telling forth the message of God. The reason being is that if we do not exercise love, our message about God is never going to be received. You've heard people that's trying to witness to you or talk to you, and you just sensed or felt, they don't care about me. And you immediately, though even what they're saying is true, the spirit of the messenger invalidated his message. And so the Bible is telling us here that it's more important to have love than it is to have prophecy, because without love, my prophecy is meaningless. Notice he also tells us that, from this we learn number three, that love is more important than knowledge. He said, though I have am able to understand all mysteries and all knowledge, he said, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Being able to answer every Bible question there ever was. If you do not have love, that ability is very meaningless. There's a lot of people that understand a lot of Bible, but their spirit makes it so hard to listen to them. Love is the mortar that holds everything together. There are many different bricks that are necessary in the foundation of God. But without that mortar of love, they're not connected to each other. And so he teaches us that love is even more important than knowledge. And then he tells us, get this. He says, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, if I have not charity or love, I am nothing. Could it really be that love is even more important than his faith? That's what the Bible says. Do you get the idea here that it's mighty important to have your love right? You know, there are people who are faithful to church, faithful to God, love God's Word, love doing right, just don't care too much about people. Uh-oh. They're in trouble with God. Are you catching this? I love the Lord, preacher. I love God. God knows I do. I love His Word. Listen, it makes me so mad when somebody doesn't do His Word. I mean, I get furious. But do you have love for people? He said, look, you can have the ability to preach or teach or witness or so win. You can know every scripture there is. You can have all knowledge. You can have great faith. But if you do not have love, it is meaningless. It accomplishes very, very little. Look at what he says. He tells us in verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, love, it profiteth me nothing. Now boy, that is amazing. Notice from this we learn that love is more important than giving. Love is more important than giving. Number 6, love is more important than sacrifice. Now here's this person that bestows all my goods. Here's a person who takes his house, sells it, takes his furniture, sells it, takes his toys, sell them, takes all of that money. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if Channel 6 News, if someone reported them, listen, there's something happening here you need to know about. There is a family that is pretty well off. They're giving everything they've got and giving it to charity. I mean, they have a nice home, they have nice cars, they're selling all their vehicles, they're selling all their furnishings, they're going to walk out with their clothes on their back, they're giving it all to charity. Can you imagine? News channel comes out, interviews them, they're on the TV tonight, people talking about it, the national news picks this up, this does not happen. And they're doing this, what's the angle? What are they doing this for? What are they trying to gain out of this? And they search it and they look trying to find some angle. And they've given it all. And somebody says, boy, I'll tell you what. Now there's a family that has really done something that is good. God said, you know you could do that. But if your life is not characterized by love for people, it accomplishes nothing. Now, it's especially important tonight that fundamentalists hear this study. Because we are traditionally hard on sin, and we should be because the Bible is. But the Bible teaches us that just as we are hard on sin, we should be very loving toward the sinner. I've seen people that, man, they're just, folks mess up. They really would rather they not even come back to their church because they messed up. There are people that's even got it written in their constitutions that if they mess up, and if they get a divorce, They can't do this, they can't do that, they can't do this, they can't do that in the church. They got all these lists of things they cannot do. There are people that if you trip up, they're basically through with you. Does that qualify for the love that's in this chapter? Folks, this is convicting tonight. He tells us that even if we are giving and sacrificial, he says, his word is, it profiteth me nothing. You gain nothing from it. Absolutely nothing. Your spirit canceled out whatever benefits or rewards there might have been. Are you hard on people? I mean, if truth be known, is there about half this church just irritates the fire out of you? You tolerate them.
What are y'all looking at me for?
Boy, there's a guilty conscience if I haven't heard that. My dad always said, if you just throw the rock, the guilty pig would squeal every time.
I knew there was a reason I needed to be here.
Sounds like it, Dave. I knew somebody did. I didn't know until now which one it was. Now, the truth is, are there people in this church and you don't love them? They get up and they get dressed and they sacrifice to make their way and come to church, but you don't give them anything for that. Truth is, you don't even like them. Now, the Bible says you can have all the great gifts in the world. You can be the most gifted, talented. You can know all the Scripture and you can be giving, but it will profit you nothing if love is not present. Oh, that's strong. How important is love? Read those first four verses. Well, what is love? Notice the Bible teaches us what love is not. Look at verse 4. It says that charity or love envieth not. From this we learn, love is not envious. It's not jealous of the talents or the success or the position or the fame or the prosperity or the acknowledgement of someone else. Love is not envious. A husband and wife love each other, then they're not competing with one another. They're not just a little bit chopped. That's the other one got something. Didn't chaff their hide. Okay? That the other one got something. Love is not envious. Somebody, your brother and your sibling gets a brand new car. You can't afford one. Are you really proud for him? Or does it irritate you just a little bit? Everything always comes his way. He's the luckiest turkey I've ever seen. I work myself half to death. Everything just falls in his lap. Love is not envious. The Bible is teaching us what love is by first showing us what love is not. Love is not envy. It does not envy. It tells us that love vaunteth not itself. That means that love, from this we learn, number two, love is not boastful. Love is not a show off. He tells us in verse 4, he says that love is not puffed up. It's not puffed up. It's not inflated. From this we learn, number three, love is not conceited. Prideful. Look at me. Look at verse 5. He tells us that love, he says, doth not behave itself unseemly. That means, number 4, that love is not rude. Does not exercise itself with bad manners. Not real love. The Bible's talking about what real, genuine love is. He says it's not envious. It's not boastful. It's not conceited. It's not rude. Look in verse 5. It says that love seeketh not her own. In other words, from this we learn, number 5, love is not selfish. Love's willing to sacrifice. Love sacrifices for the one that's loved. Love will give of its wealth. Love will give a lung, a kidney, for the one that is loved. Love is not selfish. Look in verse 5, he teaches us that love is not easily provoked. What does that mean? That means that love is not touchy. Not touchy. Doesn't fly off a handle with the first little thing that happens. Doesn't lose its patience with every little strain that comes on, but it's because you had a bit of a bad day today. The Bible says that real love is not easily provoked. Look, also it tells us that love thinketh no evil. That means that love is not critical. Love is not critical. It's not suspicious. It's not blaming. It's not nagging. Love is not critical. Fault finding. Look in verse 6. He says that love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. From this we learn that love is not wicked. Love is not immoral. That's not love. The Bible teaches us that while it gives us these 8 things that love is not, then it tells us what love is. It tells us in verse 6 that love is, number 1, truthful. It says it rejoiceth in the truth. The Bible tells us that where there is, the Bible talks about liberty coming where there is openness and truthfulness. Love wants there to be nothing between you. Love wants there to be an openness with you, with each other, a transparency with one another. The Bible tells us in verse 7 that love is helpful. It says that it beareth all things. Love does not collapse just because there's some stress. Love beareth all things. In life, there's going to be stress, isn't there? Everybody has them. Every marriage has them. Every relationship has them. You're not going to rear children without having stress. You're not going to be a teenager and live in today's world without stress. You're not going to go through courtship without stress. But the Bible tells us that love, he tells us, is helpful. Love helps bear under these stresses. whether they are mental stresses or physical stresses or emotional stresses. Love helps you. And here's a couple love each other and they're going through stresses of life, whether it's mutual stresses, problems between each other, or if one of those mates maybe is under stress because of his family or her family or her job situation. The Bible says that love helps bear up that. In other words, because you love each other, you're able to stand up under that stress more because you've got someone who loves you through that and in that. You've got a friend in that. Love bears it up. The Bible tells us that love believes in verse 7. He says, love believeth all things. That means that love thinks well of, not bad of. Love is a good finder. Amen. Love isn't blind. It just doesn't look for the bad. It looks for the good. There's good and bad in all of us, isn't there? Love prefers to focus on the good. Love can give you a whole listing of good things, but it struggles to categorize the bad ones. Doesn't blind, it just doesn't tell everything it sees. Love enables us to bear up under things because it believes in us. There's a whole lot of people have gone a lot farther than they should have ever gotten because they had someone who loved them and believed in them. And the Bible teaches us that's what love does. Love has this outlook. It believes. Look at verse 7. It tells us that love, it says, hopeth all things. That means, number 4, that love has a positive outlook about things. Love expects the best. It expects the best. Hoping, it's looking for good things, not bad things. Can you see the opposite of each of these? Can you see how that when we are hiding things from each other, that's not does not meet the test of Bible love because love is truthful? When we're constantly threatening to give up on our marriage and give up on our relationships and give up on our church and give up on our Lord and all the things around us, can you see that love does not bear all things? Can you see the opposite? Can you see that when you are quick to believe the bad about someone, that does not meet the test of believing that believeth all things, thinking good things about people? Where are you at on the love scale? How do you look toward each other in this church? Do you have a positive outlook? Do you expect the best? Look at verse 7. He says, love endureth all things. Notice that love is enduring, stands up under pressure. Love makes it through. You know, you've heard the expression about, you know, all we have is love, and we sort of make fun of that a little bit. But when you really boil that down, that's exactly what the Scripture teaches. That with love, you can make it. You can make it. Notice, number 3, notice why is love the greatest gift? Look down in verse 8. He says, charity or love never faileth. There's no limit to it. There's no place where it runs out of mileage. There's no place where it falls off the cliff. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Notice that the Bible tells us, from this we learn, that love will outlive prophecy. Love will outlive prophecy. Look at verse 8. He tells us, he says, where there be tongues, they shall cease. Notice that love will outlive tongues, languages. In verse 8, he says, and where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. He's talking about, of course, the increase of knowledge that God gave to as He was giving out the Bible. The men spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. They were given knowledge beyond what they had. That knowledge, once the Bible was completed, that gift of knowledge was no longer needed. The Bible tells us that love is greater. Love will outlive knowledge because knowledge shall vanish away. Look down in verse 13. He says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or love, these three. These things are enduring. But he tells us that love is the greatest of all three. That it's greater than faith, it's greater than hope. How can this be? Because here's the thing. Love is what heaven runs on. What you and I would notice immediately, if we could just be teleported, if we could just instantly run to heaven for just a few minutes and come back here and testify before the service ends tonight, what we would immediately sense about heaven is that it is love. The Bible sums up the character of God. And God is many things. He's almighty. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's eternal. He is holy. But the Bible sums up the essence of God in simply saying this: God is love. We will not be in His presence a minute before we immediately recognize what pure love looks like. And the Bible tells us that it's that pure love that's the essence of heaven. Everybody will love each other in a way that we have never known before. If you take our purest form of love, it is still tainted by flesh. If you look at how a parent loves their child so unselfishly, they would instantly give their body. They would step in front of a bullet to save that child. But even that love will be pale compared to the love that is in heaven. And the Bible tells us that God wants us to model that kind of love on earth. He wants us to display that. That's why He says, when you're stricken, turn the other cheek. Why? Because you are to model something that the earth doesn't understand. You're to show love. And where this really comes down to all of us is it's so important to us is that as we take our stand for right, it's possible to stand up for holiness and right and oppose wrong, but have genuine love for the people that are involved in it. And that's what we must never lose in this church. We must never lose our love for people. The church is not about its buildings. Not about structures. It's about people. It's about loving everybody here tonight. And everybody in this room today, you've had everybody that's had to go to work, you've had a full day already. And you know that you've got to get home and get some things done, get some sleep, because tomorrow you've got to get up and get it again. Boy, we need to love each other. We need to love each other. I don't have to know everything there is to know about you to love you. The Bible tells us that's why it tells us, do not judge before the time. You don't have the credentials. You don't have the criteria. You don't have the background to judge it. You don't know. So let God handle that. The Bible tells us we're not to do the chastening because we don't know how to do it. We're liable to hurt somebody. Let God do the chastening. Then what's our part? Our part's to love. Our part is to make a person who walks in off the street in this church feel like here is one place that loves him. Here is one place where she is accepted. Here's one place, and does not matter what your background or past is. The Bible says, who are we to judge another man's servant? God will judge his servants. Our job is to love each other. Pure and simple. Boy, this is an amazing passage of Scripture when you look at it. And when it tells us that if we are able to become so accomplished in our spiritual life that we gain a great understanding of Scripture, and if we are dedicated enough in our Christian life that we bring our talents into usefulness, and if we are unselfish enough in our Christian life that we're willing to sacrifice all those things that matter so much to us, if we do not have a loving spirit, it accomplishes nothing. I want you to bow your head tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed.